Good morning. Today's Daf and Rosh Hashanah's Daf Gimel. We are starting today on Beis Amud Beis. We are coming off of the Mishnah. Mishnah says that there are four Rosh Hashanahs over the course of the year, four starting points in which they all have significance, and the Mishnah detailed the four starting points and the significance of each of the four. So there's a lot of explaining to do. This first sugya that we are going through is going to take us some time, as we are going to detail every single point in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah started off with the first day of Nisan. First day of Nisan is a first. It's an Echad B'Nisan. So what is it? Says the Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah L'Melachim L'Regalim. So as the first of the year, as far as kings are concerned, as far as Regal is concerned. So Regal, so let's hold that conversation, because that's going to be coming up in the Gemara. That Gemara, I believe, is starting in tomorrow's Daf. But in the meantime, however, we're still by the first point, and that is that the first day of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Melachim. It's the first for kings. First for kings, what does that mean? So we saw yesterday, the Gemara gave a pshat. The Gemara is going to stick with this pshat. And today, all we're going to do is just elaborate on the pshat. And that is that when you are dating documents, so you're going to be dating it based on the reign of a king, and so that we make sure that the documents are on the correct date. When I say the correct date, I mean that we're all in clear communication in terms of what today is. So therefore, we're going to be making sure that the king's reign is always going to be measured by the month of Nisan. So that means to say, when the first of Nisan rolls around, and it doesn't matter when he was coronated, he could have been coronated a day earlier. Once the first day of Nisan rolls around, that's going to be the next year of his reign. So if he starts ruling, the Bryce said this yesterday, if he starts ruling on the 29th day of Adar, and now the first day of Nisan rolls around, so welcome to year number two. So now as we did a document, so we're writing it, we're dating the document in the second year of this king, and so now we're all in agreement. We now have clear communication in terms of what today is. As I mentioned yesterday, our system seems to be just a little bit easier and just a lot more universal. In other words, once you're dating by the year, so then from let's say Bria Sa'olam, or in the secular documents, so you know everyone agrees to a year that everyone goes by. So that's obviously a simpler system. But as much as it is a simpler system, that back in the day that was simply not conventional. Conventional back in the day was to date everything by the king, right? It's good to be the king, and everyone has to acknowledge the king. It's just simply a necessary convention that existed back in the time that you just simply couldn't ignore the king. Okay, so once you have to date documents by the king, so now let's all speak the same language in terms of what year it is for the king. First year, second year, so we're going to make sure that we're going to be dating it by, so we're going to be dating the king by a constant, and that is by the first of Nisan. That is going to be the rollover for his for the next year. It will get confusing in just a little bit from now, because as the Gemara will point out, that's talking about Malchei Yisrael. That's talking about a Jewish king. What about a non-Jewish king? Non-Jewish kings are dated by Tishrei. Oh, okay, fine. So now, right, that's a wrinkle. So when you're dating a document, and you are dating by kings, and we're all speaking the same language, but you also have to know whether it's a Jewish king or a non-Jewish king. Okay, because they're not following the same dating system. And oh, by the way, just this gets us to the end of the daf, but I'll just foreshadow it now. There will be a non-Jewish king who we're going to treat like a Jewish king. And then at a certain point in his reign, we ended up treating him like a non-Jewish king. Now I know that's confusing, but that's coming up at the end of today's daf, the beginning of tomorrow's daf. Okay, but anyway, but that's the basic idea, and that's the basic outline. And so when we are dating a document, we want to make sure that we're all communicating. Why do we want to make sure that we're all communicating? So this is just a basic point of yesterday's daf that let's review. And that is because we don't want the document to be neither predated or postdated. Once a loan document is predated or postdated, so we have trouble. We have problems. The bigger problem comes in a predated document as opposed to a postdated document. The predated document is a lot of problems, because it's more than problems. It's illegal. It's an illegal document, because with a predated document, so what it does now is it creates a fictitious lien. I now have a lien against a property that is not. It just simply is. It's only based on the fact that we wrote a date that preceded the origination of the loan, and so now I can illegally collect a property based on this document. And so as a result of that, a predated document, the Mishnah in Shviyas, we learned the Mishnah together yesterday. So the Mishnah in Shviyas says that the document is, the shtar is going to be puzzle. And you lose all the validity of the document, and no longer can collect. You can't even collect from the correct date. meaning once you predate the document, the Chachamim levied a knas against you, and you can't use the document at all. Now, a post-dated document, admittedly, said the Mishnah Shvius, so it's okay. It's not right, but it's okay. Because with a post-dated document, the only person that stands to lose is going to be the lender, not the borrower, because now the lender just simply loses all that time between the actual loan and the time that the note is dated, and so over the course of that time, so he does not have a lien. Okay, but that's only the loss of the lender, not the loss of the borrower, and he shouldn't have done it. But in other words, the lender, for whatever reason, wants to forfeit that time and not have a lien for that period of time and remain exposed during that period of time. Okay, that's on the lender. Okay, anyway, so that is why it is so critical that when we're dating the document, so we're all on the same page. I mean that both literally and figuratively. Okay, good. The next part of the Gemara's discussion that we saw yesterday is, how do I know that? Minayin. From where do I know? Where do I know that when we have a Jewish king and we're going to be dating the documents based on Nisan, that his turnover, his next year is going to always be the first day of Nisan? Minah hanimile, how do I know that this is so? Now, I say minah hanimile, how do I know this is so? Mind you, I quoted this Rashi yesterday, and I'll just review it today. So Rashi said two interesting things yesterday. One was really controversial. The other one seems to be less controversial. But if you go back to the first Rashi of the Masechta, on Beis Amin Aleph, Rashi writes that why are we dating documents? So by the king. So Rashi writes, Mishum Shalom Achos. So we're doing so as a way of making sure that we're good with the government and we're good with the king. That's Rashi because of Shalom Achos. Tosos has a lot of problems with that line of Rashi. You can see the second Tosos. I kind of touched on it yesterday. But then Rashi says, V'kavu chachamim echad b'nisan. The chachamim were koveh the first day of Nisan. So Rashi says clearly in yesterday's daf that this is a rabbinic institution. The king's reign and his rollover year is going to be the Nisan. That's a rabbinic institution. Okay, that's Rashi from yesterday. So as much as the Gemara is asking, Menah Hanemilia, how do I know this? And we're going to be setting a lot of psukim over the course of today. Right, I didn't do a word count, but word for word, we're going to be doing more Tanakh today than we are going to be doing Gemara, but a lot of Tanakh coming up in today. As much as the Gemara is entertaining the idea that this is all sourced in the Torah, but when all said and done, when push comes to shove, Rashi clearly is of the position that this is a rabbinic institution. Okay, but rabbinic institutions obviously are grounded, meaning it could very well be that the psukim that we're going to be going through today just gave the Chachamim the idea that this is correct. So, in other words, Eluvelu, it could both be true, meaning that we're going to have a lot of psukim supporting this, and the Chachamim formalized and institutionalized that the first day of Nisan is going to be the rollover date for the king. Good. So how do I know this? So this is what we started with yesterday. So we started with the pasuk in Malachim Aleph, Perek Vav, where there, the Torah gives us the dates for the reign of Shlomo HaMelech and the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And as far as Malchus Shlomo was concerned, so it happens to have been that he was in his fourth year of his reign when he started building the Beis HaMikdash, which also happens to be the 480th year from Yetzias Mitzrayim. So now we got two dates out of that pasuk in Malachim Aleph. We got the number of years we were post Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we got the Malchus of Shlomo. Well, Yetzias Mitzrayim. When do we count Yetzias Mitzrayim? Meaning, from what month do we do this count? So presumably we do it from Nisan. It's intuitive. Meaning we left in Nisan, so presumably we're counting in Nisan. Meaning, what are you going to do? You get to the first day of Tishrei, now you're going to count that the second year as we left Mitzrayim? Now, it could very well be that may be right, but the Gemara will not entertain that. The Gemara is assuming that we're counting from Nisan. Well, if that's counted from Nisan, so then the reign of the king is also going to be counted from Nisan as well. That's what the Gemara assumes. That's pretty much where we're up to in the Gemara. And then the Gemara says, well, that's interesting. As far as Yetzias Mitzrayim is concerned, how do we in fact know that it's counted from Nisan? Meaning, where's your source for that? So the Gemara says, well, actually, I do have a source for that, and it's based on a couple psukim in the beginning of Devarim. So yesterday we noted that that we described the death of Aaron. The Torah describes the death of Aaron. Vayal Aaron, Akoin, Al-Hor, Ahar, Al-Pi, Hashem, V'yam, Hashem, Bishnasar Arbim, let's say it's Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim. So it's the 40th year after they left Egypt. Bechodesh HaChamishi, in the fifth month, right? The fifth month also known as Av, and the first day of the month. And then it says in the beginning of Devarim, Vayhi Barbim Shana Ba'ashtei Asar Chodesh, Bechala Chodesh Diber Moshe. And then the Torah turns to the 11th month also known as Shvat. Okay, so what happened is that we were in the first day of Av, and that was the 40th year. And then we move forward to the 11th month, and we're still in the 40th year. Oh. So what does it mean? It means that now that we ran over a Tishrei, because the Tishrei is the 7th month, and we're still in the 40th year. So for Minyan Yitzias Mitzrayim, so we see that that everything begins and ends on Nisan. The years are counted by Nisan. And so now that brings us back to the original point, which is that once we establish Yitzias Mitzrayim is by the month of Nisan, so too the Malchus also is going to be going and based on Nisan as well. Okay, that was in short order, not short order, sorry, over 11 minutes. That is all but a review of everything that we did up until now. Umi mai. So now the Gemara wants to know, okay, so you've constructed an argument based on psukim, and the psukim are not given in sequence, and it happens to be that you and I know that there's a basic rule of ein muktam u'mukha b'Torah. So there's no necessary chronology of the Torah, and it could very well be that although the Torah gives us these psukim, but the Torah is not given to us in order. And so, how do I know the episode in Av came first, notably the death of Aaron? Maybe the episode in Shvat, meaning the beginning of Devarim, maybe that came first. Gemara says, how do you know? So the Gemara says, lo sagadacha, dechsif. The Gemara says, no, we know. Meaning that, although you're right, ein muktam u'mukha b'Torah, but here we know that there is sequencing, and it is chronological. How do I know that? Dechsif. Acharei hakoso sichon. So, because it says over there in the beginning of Devarim that this is after Sichon was conquered. Now, v'chi nach nafshei d'Aaron akati have a Sichon kayam. Now, it happens to be that at the death of Aaron there was Sichon, meaning the nation of Sichon existed at the death of Aaron. How do I know that? Dichsiv, because the Torah says really clearly, as we turn to the top of Gimel and Aleph, Vayishma Kanani Melech Arad. So, the Kanani. A Melech Arad here is Mashmua Shema. What do you hear? Shama Shemes Aaron. He heard that Aaron died. Vinostaku Anane Kavod. And we lost the clouds. So Bitzchos Aaron. So the Ananim were there. And so now Ukasavanina Rishos the Alachim Yisrael. So they thought now that we have permission to attack the Jewish people. Vayne Dichsiv Vayurkol Aida Ki Gava Aaron. So the pasuk says that the nation saw that Aaron died. Right in Parshas Chukas. Now. Although the pasuk is clearly pronounced vayiru, on the other hand, it could also be pronounced vayera'u, and that's the passive, meaning not that we saw, but rather we were seen. And Rashi writes very clearly, nitkalu, meaning that what happened was is that basically with the death of Aaron, so the shields went down, and now kedereish lakish, amereish lakish kimashamish bedal shanos. And you should know that the word ki has four different understandings. Ki can mean dilma, perhaps, ella, no, but rather, and daha, or that of, or because of. And you could see Rashi over here. Rashi meticulously goes through, right, exactly what you would expect Rashi to do. Rashi meticulously goes through numerous psukim in the Torah that supports every one of these four different interpretations of the word ki. You want more, by the way? Tosus discusses this even more. But anyway, so one of the interpretations of the word ki means because or as a result of. So we go back to the pasuk vayukol aida ki gava Aaron. So the nation saw or the nation was seen because Aaron died, meaning we were exposed because Aaron died. Why were we exposed? Because again the shields went down, clouds were lifted. So and as a result of that we were exposed. Anyway, it comes out from all this as the following. So Sichon was around at the death of Aaron. And so when we're describing the death of Aaron, clearly that came before the beginning of Devarim, because by the beginning of Devarim, so Sichon was already destroyed. Okay, so we're right. And now, again, let's just go full circle. Let's just go all the way back to the original point that the Gemara wants to make. So what does that mean? It means that as far as Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Nisan now serves as the first of the month, because the first month in terms of the count. And now that it's by Yetzias Mitzrayim, Nisan serves as the beginning point for counting. So too, it would be true regarding the Malchus as well, going all the way back to the pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Melachim. Okay, that's a mouthful. Midami Hasam Kanan Hachasichan. As we go back to the Gemara over here is stuck on a detail, but an important detail, which is I don't understand. One pasuk describes it as Kanan, and meanwhile the other pasuk describes it as Sichon. So the Gemara says Tana Hu Sichon Hu Aradu Kanan. So the Gemara's answer is very simple. It's one and the same. And the fact that one person goes by multiple names, that's not uncommon. It happens pretty often. Sichon, and so now the Gemara does what it usually does when trying to explain how it is that somebody goes by multiple names, and that is some of the names are adjectives, some of the names are proper nouns. So Sichon Shadom Lesayach, Bemidbar. So Sichon is an adjective. It's a description, like a sayach, like a foal, like a young horse, a wild young horse. And Kanan Hashem Achuso, and Kanan is based on its nationality, and Umashmo Arad Shmo, and the actual king itself, his name is Arad. So Iged Amre, in another version, Arad Shadom L'Arad, Bemidbar. Arad is the adjective that's describing that he's like a wild donkey, and Kanan Hashem Achuso, and Kanan is his nationality, Umashmo Sichon Shmo, his name is Sichon. Okay, whichever version we're going to work with, the point is that it's all one and the same. Okay, ve'ema. Okay, so at this point in time now, it sounds like we've successfully proven that Tishrei is not the first in terms of counting. Counting Malchus, counting Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not Tishrei, but rather it's Nisan. So ve'ema, Rosh Hashanah Iyar. So the Gemara says, well, wait one second. The only thing that we've really proven is that we went from the month of Av to the month of Shvat, and we're still in the same year. And we assumed that that it's going to be Nisan that's going to be the significant marker. That's going to be the rollover month for the next year. But the truth of the matter is that all we did is eliminate the months between Av and Shvat. That's all we've done. And so now the Gemara, in its desire to prove conclusively, so the Gemara says, okay, all I've done now is eliminated months, which means that there are a lot of months that are eligible to be the rollover month. So, and that's exactly what the Gemara is bothered by. The aim of Rosh Hashanah ER. So maybe Rosh Hashanah is really ER. So lo sakadacha, the Gemara says, nah, it's not going to be ER. Why? Because we know that the Mishkan was set up on the first month of the second year. Uksiva yiba shana shenis bechodesh hasheni na lahanan me'al Mishkan ha'idus. And then we also note that in the second month, of the second year, so that's when the clouds lifted, so that we started traveling. So midikai benisan v'kari leishan hashenis v'kai be'ir v'kari leishan hashenis mechal de Rosh Hashanah lav iyarhu. Okay, so from this sequence of psukim, so what we did was we went from Nisan to Iyar. We're still in the same year. Okay, so Iyar is not the rollover month. Okay, good. Ve'ema Rosh Hashanah Sivan. So again, the Gemara over here is meticulous. So the Gemara says, why isn't Sivan a candidate? The Gemara says, lo sakadacha. Nah, it's not going to be Sivan. Let's say it's been Esau, Meretz Mitzrayim. So in the third month after we left Egypt, now, the third month, if in fact Sivan turns into a rollover month, so now what should happen in Sivan? We should be in the second year. Okay, mi baile. Ve'ema Tammuz, ve'ema Av, ve'ema Adar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there are three other months that are still candidates. Meaning, again, all we did from the Aaron sequencing is that we eliminated months. We eliminated the months from Adar to Shvat. But all these other months are still candidates and still eligible. And although you had Psukim that clearly indicated it's not going to be ER and it's not going to be Sivan, but there are still three other months that could be candidates. So Elam or Rav Elazar, so the Gemara says, okay, so Rav Elazar says, let's try a different approach. Again, because now we're going to reset. What are we trying to do? We're trying to establish psukim in Tanakh that show us that as far as the king is concerned, once he hits the first day of Nisan, it's now going to be the next year of his reign. So the rollover month for the king and the counting of his reign is going to be the month of Nisan. So how do I know that? So after an effort, a significant effort, Rav Yochanan, we spent over an amud of Gemara going over this approach of Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara says, okay, but it gets us to a point, but it doesn't really get us there. So Rav Elazar says, okay, so allow me to get us there. So Elamehacha, so it comes from the following. Now we're going to Divrei Hayamim. Vayichalav Nos Bechosh Hasheni. So they started building in the second month. Basheni. Now that, I repeated myself, but I didn't repeat myself. That's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Now hold that thought for just a moment, right? Put a circle around that word Basheni, the second one, and we're going to come back to it. Bishnas Arba Lamachusa in the fourth year of his reign. Okay. So, and now, good. So we are coordinating now the Pesukim and Divrei Hayamim to that of Malachim, meaning that we know Shlomo HaMelech built the first base of Mikdash in the fourth year of his reign. We established that yesterday. We established that again today. Good. The problem, of course, is that in that Pesuk, what do you do with that second Basheni? Right? It's a challenge. Vayichalav nos b'chosh Hasheni, Basheni. What does that mean? Okay. Simple pshat. Really hard. To come up with a simple pshat. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'm not going to give you a simple pshat, but I'll tell you. My sheni, la sheni liyarech shamon bola machuso. So sheni over here means the following. It's coming to teach us a halachic point. And that is that it's a second, meaning we've already established it's a second month. That's the Navi says, b'chosh hasheni. And the second basheni comes to tell me, and oh, by the way, when we count the kings from the month of Nisan. Meaning this is the second month from which we normally count kings. Reign is established, and the year of the king is established by the first day of Nisan.
Isn't
so,
the simple
and, okay, good. So Maskev, oh, good. Okay, good. So Maskev, Ravina Ve'emashen and Bechodesh. Okay, good. Okay, you're on point. So Ravina suggests that maybe it's the second day of the month. So in King Shein and Bechodesh, Behejah HaVaksiv Bey. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it would have said Shein and Bechodesh. It would have said that. So Ve'emah B'Shein and B'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, how about Monday? Can't it be Monday? Now, I'll tell you why it can't be Monday. Who starts building the base of Mikdash on Monday? That's a terrible argument. I totally take that back. I take that back. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it can't be Monday. So Chada D'Lashkechan. So the Gemara says, when does the Torah ever refer to days of the week? Now, it happens to be an outstanding point, right? One that I really have not considered much. And that is, really do we find in the Torah that the Torah talks about days of the week? Now, the obvious question is that, and we just went through Parshas Brachos. Okay, so there is an occasion where the Torah does talk about the days of the week. Tosos raises this very point. So Sheni B'Shabbos L'Ashkechan. You see Tosos, last short line. V'adichsi v'hi boker yom sheni. V'farsh b'Yerushalmi ein lemeidim mi'briyasa sha'olam klamer delav as Shabbos kai ela sha'ayir yom sheni le'briyasa sha'olam. So Tosos over here makes a really large point, and that is that days of the week as it relates to Briyasa sha'olam. So that's not a day. In other words, those are right. To quote a famous Jew, so time is relative. Okay, and talking about Briyas HaOlam from the standpoint of those are days. No, not days of the week. In other words, the Torah obviously speaks to us in a language that we understand, but that's not really a day of the week. And so that doesn't. So that's not a good example. And so after that, meaning after Briyas HaOlam. So where does the Torah ever speak about days of the week? It's really an outstanding point. Again, one I really need to think more about. Okay, right? We don't have that as a reference point in the Torah. So Deloshka Chan Sheni B'Shabbos Dichsev Va'od. Back to the Gemara Va'od Make Sheni Basra L'Sheni Kama Masheni Kama Chodesh Av Sheni Basra Chodesh. And the Gemara says, and on top of that, just from a contextual standpoint. Well, if the first Sheni is talking about a month, the second Sheni is also talking about a month. Okay. Again, that's really challenging because then why the repetition? Well, we know what the Gemara's answer is. The repetition is because it's coming to teach us a halacha. Okay. Tan Kavasi de Rav Yochanan. And now, a summary of everything we just did. So normally, I summarize. So over here, the Gemara is going to summarize. The Gemara is going to quote a Braisa, and what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to string all the psukim that we did together between yesterday and today, string all those psukim together. It is rather amazing. Without having learned the Gemara between yesterday and today, the Braisa would be impossible to get through. Meaning, we could read the Braisa, but literally impossible to understand. In other words, what we just did over the course of 1.5 days is that basically we unpackaged this Braisa by going through the proofs and the counterproofs and the arguments and the counterarguments. And now what the Braisa is going to do is it's going to be unbelievably succinct. So the Tanya confesses to Rav Yochanan. It's also interesting that the Gemara introduces this price by saying it supports Rav Yochanan. That's funny, because after an Amud of Rav Yochanan, the Gemara says, it's not so good. And the Gemara says, now let's turn our attention to Rabbi Elazar. So what I think is going on over here, and Tosa certainly seems to support my thesis, is that Rav Elazar is not arguing with Rav Yochanan, although to be fair, it does say Ella Amar Rav Elazar, which usually means it is a negation of the previous position and acceptance of this new position. But in other words, that really Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar are working in concert with one another in order to get us to our point. Anyway, so Minayin, Shein Monam Lam Lamlachim Ella Minisan. How do I know when counting the reign of a king? So the rollover date is always going to be the first day of Nisan. How do I know that? Shenemar. Everyone see what just happened? Every pasuk that we just went through between Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar are strung together in the Braisa. And now, if you want to really understand the Braisa, what you're going to do is you just simply review everything we did from the midpoint of Beis Amud Beis in Rosh Hashanah. Okay, good. I'm Rav Chisda. Four lines down after the lines get wide. Lo Shana L'Amach Yisrael. So, yes, it's true that the rollover date for the reign of a king is going to be the first day of Nisan. That's true. But for Jewish kings, so, but when it comes to a non-Jewish king, so again, we're going to be dating our documents based on non-Jewish kings, assuming that we are under the rule and we have to use a non-Jewish king. So for the non-Jewish king, so it's going to be dated by Tishrei, not by Nisan. But how do I know that? Shenemar. So the Gemara quotes now the following: Divrei Nechemya ben Chachilai, Vayihi b'chodesh Kislev Shnas Esrim. So here we go to the beginning of Sefer Nechemya. Okay. And it is the month of Nisan in the 20th year of Artaxasta. So midikabikis the correlation asesrim. So now just follow over here as we went from the first to the second parak of Sefer Nechemya. And we were in the 20th year of the reign of Artaxasta. And we are still in the 20th year. We went from the month of Kislev to the month of Nisan. Now, what would happen if that were a Jewish king? So it would now roll over to year 21. It didn't roll over to year 21. Because he's a non-Jewish king. So v'kai b'nisim, v'kai relation, I'm sorry. So, mi d'kai b'kis, v'kai relation asesrim, v'kai b'nisim, v'kai relation asesrim, mechlal d'rosh Hashanah lav Nisan hu. Okay. So it's not Nisan. So once again, by the way, all we did is we rejected the null hypothesis, meaning it's not Nisan, right? There are 11 other months that could serve as candidates. That's not true. We knocked out a bunch. But anyway, so the Gemara says Bishlam Aich Mefarish Did La Artach Shasta Ella Hai Mimai De La Artach Shasta Dilma Liminyana Achrinahu. So the Gemara says, well, even as I look at those two pesukim in Sefer Nechemya, this second pasuk is clearly dating from the King Artach Shasta, the 20th year of the King Artach Shasta. You go back to that first pasuk Divrei Nechemya, right, the beginning of Sefer Nechemya. It doesn't say to the king. So even though it does say the 20th year, I don't know, maybe it's some other 20. So the Gemara says, no, not the case. We are now on the top of Gimel Amud Beis. So, Amra Papa Shnas Asrim, I'm sorry, Laminyan Achreinahu, Amra Papa Shnas Asrim, L'Gzereshava. So the Gemara says, nah, it's L'Gzereshava. Now again, we're going back to David's point of yesterday. The word gzereshava over here, not to be too super literal. It's not a halachic gzereshava. It just simply means that it's the same. Meaning it's the 20th year to the king. So mahasam la'artach shasta afhacha la'artach shasta. Okay. So the gzereshava. By the way, hopefully this will sound somewhat familiar, right? This is exactly the point the Gemara made yesterday. Now yesterday the Gemara made the point and we looked at each other, not fully understanding. What? 2020? Gzereshava? What are you talking about? Okay. So meanwhile, now we know. 2020, what are we talking about? We're talking about the beginning of Sefer Nechemya. where there, just if the first 20 is actually it goes the other direction. If the second 20, meaning the one in Perek Beis, is talking about the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the first one also, even though it doesn't mention Artaxerxes, but Hainuhach, it's the same thing. So again, the Gemara is just going to push back a little bit. Okay, good. So now I see that we went from Kislev to Nisan, and we're still in the 20th year. Gemara says, I don't know. Again, the Gemara is assuming right now, Ein Muktam Mu'uchar B'Torah, and Ein Muktam Mu'uchar B'Sefer Nechemya. And so maybe the event in Nisan came first. I know it occurs in the second parak, but who knows? Maybe it came first. So the Gemara says, Lo Sakadach. The Gemara says, no, I'm not ready to entertain that detanya. We learned in the following brisa. Okay, and here, a really long excerpt. So, Dvarim Shamar Chanani L'Nechemya B'Kislev. So, that which Chanani informed Nechemya in the month of Kislev, Amra Nechemya L'Melech B'Nisan. So then what Nechemya did is he reported this to the king in the month of Nisan. We've noted numerous times that communication back in the day was not the quickest communication, right? We live in a world of instant communication. It's hard to relate. So we are now just talking about a single message that took months to communicate. But anyway, our point over here is that is going to be chronology and sequence. And it's going to be that the information came to Nechemya and Kislev, and he communicated that to the Persian king in the month of Nisan. So the Gemara says, Dvarim, Shamar, Chanan, Nechemya, Bekitzav, Shenemar. And so here we go back to the first parak of Sefer Nechemya. Divrei Nechemya, Ben, Chachila, Vehibachosh, Kislev, Shnas, Esrim. So it's the 20th year, and now we know, meaning the 20th year of the reign of Artaxerxes. Vani, Aisa, Bishushan, Abira, and he describes Nechemya, how he was in Shushan, Vayavo, Chanani, Echan, Mechai, Huv, Anashim, Yehuda, and this personality, Chanani, comes over to me, and he happens to come from this land called Israel. And I asked, "Nu, how are the Jews doing out there in Israel?" And he said to me, "Anisharim asher nisharu min hashvi sham b'medina b'ra'a gedola uvecherpa v'chomos Yerushalayim uferetzos v'sharan itztu be'esh." And a terrible report about basically Yerushalayim's in shambles. Okay, I'm not going to translate every word, but it's a disaster out there. So that was the information that was given to Nechemya by the convoy that came from Israel. And now Nechemya is going to take that information and now he's going to pass it on to the Persian king. So Amram Nechemya Lamelech be Nisan. So he got the information right in the middle of the winter in Kislev. And now springtime, and now he's reporting it over to the king. Shenemar v'yib b'chodesh Nisan, shnas esrim la'artaxerxes ha'melech. And now we are in the 20th year of the king. And, ha'melech yayin lefanav. And Nechemya's job is that he brought wine to the king. He was the cupbearer. The Esa is Hayayin Vetna Lamelech. And so I brought the wine to the king as I normally do. Velo Ayisi Ra Lafanav. I look terrible. And Vayomali Amelech, and the king said to me, Madu Panecha Ra'im Ve'ata Incha Chole. And the king asked me, Nu, what's wrong with you? And this is not physical. So, Ein Zeki Imra Alev. Okay, so I see that you're in bad spirits. V'irahar Beimod, V'amar LaMelech HaMelech LaOlam Yechiah. And so now he says the king should live. So, Madua Lo Yiru Panai Asher Ha'ir Beis Kvaros Avosai Charva. The city of where my forefathers are buried, so it's destroyed. V'sha'areh Uchlu Ba'esh. The gates are consumed by fire. But Yom Ali HaMelech Amaze Ata Mevakesh. So the king says, so what are you asking for? V'aspalal alokei shamayim v'omer lamelech ima lamelech tov. By the way, you hear the language, right? Reminiscent of Megillas Esther. So ima lamelech tov v'imitav avdecha lefanecha asher tishacheni el yudal ir kvaros avasai v'evnena. And so basically, send me back to Eretz Yisrael so I can help build the city. V'yomer li amelech v'ashagel yoshev etzlo. And the king said to me, and the shagel was sitting right by him. Little discussion in terms of who the shagel is a reference to a woman, okay? Mysterious woman that was sitting next to the king. Ad masai yiyeh malecha umasai tashuv yitav lifnei amelech v'yishachin v'etna lozman. Okay, good. And it was agreed upon that the king was in fact going to send Nechemya back to Eretz Yisrael in order so that he could rebuild the city and rebuild the base of Mikdash. Anyway, comes out from all this. That's a lengthy citation. Comes out from all this that clearly the information was given to Nehemiah in Perek Aleph. Then Nehemiah communicated that information to the king in Perek Beis. It's sequential. In other words, yes, you could normally say in Mukta Mamuchar Batara, clearly going from Perek Aleph to Perek Beis, aside from the intuitive nature of when you go from Perek Aleph to Perek Beis, it normally goes in sequence. But aside from that, it's clear contextually that we are working sequentially over here. And so therefore, what just happened over here is that by the Persian king, we move from Kislev to Nisan. For a Jewish king, that would be the next year over, and it didn't roll over. Meaning you still stayed in the 20th year of Artaxasta. So what does that mean? It means that by non-Jewish kings, so we are not, Nisan is not the rollover month. Okay. Mace of Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef challenges. He asks the following question. And that is, B'yamasrim v'arba l'chosh b'shishi b'shna sh'taim l'dayavish. So in the 24th of the month, l'chosh b'shishi, in the 6th month, b'shna sh'taim l'dayavish. So in it's the second year of Daryavish. V'ksiv b'shvi'i b'esrim v'chad l'chodesh. So the v'im isa b'shvi'i b'shnas gimel mi'ba'ilei. So what just happened over here is that we crossed over to the month of Tishrei. Now you just told me that as it relates to a non-Jewish king, so you get to the first day of Tishrei, that's a rollover month. So if that's a rollover month, so now that means that we should be moving, we should be advancing his reign by one more year. And that didn't happen. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Korosh Melech Chasher Haya. So Lefichach Manu Lo Kemach Yisrael. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we're talking about Korosh over here. And the Gemara describes him as Melech Kasher. He's a good king. And so by a good king, so what's the best way we can compliment him? We're going to count your reign, not by Tishrei, but it's going to be counted by Nisan. Okay, I said this earlier at the beginning of today's daf. Here we are at a point of just confusion. The whole purpose of dating our documents is so that we would have clear communication with one another in terms of when the date is. And meanwhile, by Koresh, to, you know, to give him a pat in the back and a yesher koach, and you're doing a great job, he's a melech kasher, so you know what we're going to do? We're going to date our documents by Koresh based on the Jewish king and versus a non-Jewish king. Generally speaking, non-Jewish kings, their rollover month is going to be the first day of Tishrei. Ah, Koresh, you're the best. You're the best. You're going to go Nisan. Okay. Okay, so perfect. Okay, perfect setup. Okay, you teed me up. Okay, so Mask of Rav Yosef, Chad Adim King Kashakraya Adade, Dirsiv. So Rav Yosef says, that's a difficult shot. Let's take a look at a couple psukim together. Vishetzi Besa Dana Ayom Talsali Yerech Adar. So the house was completed in the month of Adar. So Daishna Shish Lamachus Daryavesh Maka. 6th year of the King Daryavesh. Vitanya Bosos Malashanaba. Now, take that date that we just learned together, move ahead 1 year. Allah Ezra mi Bavel, the Galuso Imo. And so that is when Ezra comes up from Bavel. Okay. So together with a representation of the exile, Uksiva Yavo Yushlaim Bechodesh Hamishi, Hishnas Hashvi'is Lamelech. And they went to Yerushalayim in the 5th month, which is the 7th year of the king's reign. Now, v'im isa shnas hashminis mi ba'ilei. Now, remember how we just argued that because Koresh was so wonderful, that what we're going to do is that we're going to give him Nisan as being his rollover month. So if Nisan is his rollover month, so now we should no longer be in the 7th year, but rather we should be in the 8th year. V'od midami asam Koresh hachadar yavesh, and additionally, right? Aren't you confusing your Persian kings? Now, we all confuse our Persian kings. So they right, as a general rule. But over here, in other words, just who are we describing over here? Previously, we were describing Koresh. Now we're describing Daryavish. Right? They're not the same, are they? The Gemara says, actually, yeah, they are the same. So, Tanu hu Koresh hu Daryavish hu Artach Shasta. Okay, so I know that we went through a series of psukim today in Sefer Nehemiah, in Sefer Ezra. And at times we call them Artaxasta. At times we call them Koresh, and at times we call them Daryavesh. So the Gemara says yes to all three, meaning, yeah, that's his name. So Koresh, Shemelch Kasherhu. So Koresh, take the letters Koresh and shuffle them around, Melch Kasherhu. Artaxasta al Shem Achuso. So the Malchus is called Artaxasta. And Umashmo Daryavishmo, and his name is actually Daryavish. Okay. So mikol makom kasha. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, but when all said and done, good. So we've now unified these names into one individual. The Gemara says, when all said and done, those last psukim that we just quoted from Sefer Ezra, so they really become difficult. Meaning, so that we went over the month of Nisan. We said that he was a Melech Kasher. We said that Nisan now is going to be his rollover month. And meanwhile, it didn't roll over. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yisuk lo kasha kan karim sheichmitz kan la'achir sheichmitz. So the Gemara says, okay, so Koresh was kasher, but not throughout his entire reign. There was a point where he was kasher, and there was a point where he literally, I mean, the Gemara's terminology, I don't mean literally, but he soured, right? He soured, he went bad. So, what better way to censor a king than basically saying, okay, you know how we're dating you now? we're not going to date you anymore by Nisan, right? No longer. We're dating you by the month of Tishrei. We're going to treat you like a regular non-Jewish king.
How does it take all this?
Perfect. So Ben's asking, and I don't have a great answer. So Ben's asking, so look, if the whole purpose of the dating is to make sure that we're all on the same page and that we're all speaking the same language and no document is going to be predated and postdated, right? What a train wreck. What a disaster. Right, the king. We're moving now. We're going to be moving the goalpost. Right, I don't mean that literally, but here as close to literal as possible. We're moving the goalpost regarding this one king, meaning this one non-Jewish king who was fantastic, allowed permission to go back to Eretz Yisrael, build the second base of Mikdash at a later point in time. He soured, and so we were so happy with him. So we started dating our documents by him by Nisan, and then we moved it over to Tishrei because he soured. Okay, and Phil's point is that the political problems that it creates, meaning, we were in a position where we could censor, but Ben's point, which I don't have a good answer for, and that is that all those documents now, and it becomes unbelievably confusing. Okay, I don't know, right? This is historical, and I guess they dealt with it at the time. I really don't know, but. The point of all this, however, and this is where we're going to stop and we'll pick it up tomorrow, but the point of all this is that we now have at least documented that when in terms of dating a king, dating a document by kings, so by Jewish kings we go by the month of Nisan, by non-Jewish kings we go by the month of Tishrei. Let me do a formal review of today's daf. Okay, so in today's daf, we started off with just an explanation of how we know that when we date kings, and now in hindsight, we know we're talking about Jewish kings. So that when we date kings, so we do so by the month of Nisan. And to that, the Gemara strung together a whole series of psukim and arguments, and it really is a combination of Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar, tag-teaming together to cite all the requisite psukim to get us to the point that the dating of a Jewish king is going to be by the month of Nisan. It is a mouthful, even as a summary. It's a mouthful to go over all the various psukim, and then the Gemara quoted a brisa at the very tail end of the discussion. That all the brisa did was just string all the psukim together, psukim from Malachim, Bamidbar, Devarim, and a series of other sources as well. Okay, I can't even in a summary. I can't go anyway. A lot of psukim that get us to the point that the first day of Nisan is going to be the rollover year for every Jewish king. And the fact that it's a description of the Jewish king, that brings us to Rav Chista on the bottom of Gemara Amud Aleph, that this entire limud is for a Jewish king, but for a non-Jewish king, so it's not going to be Nisan, but rather it's going to be Tishrei. Tishrei is going to be the significant and the rollover month for a non-Jewish king. So how do I know that? So I know that based on the sequence of psukim in the first two parakim of Sefer Nehemiah. Nehemiah received information in Kislev, that's Parak Aleph, passing information on to Artaxasta in the month of Nisan, right? 4 or 5 months later. And the point is that in both of those instances, the Navi describes that it was the 20th year of Artaxasta. So he just went through the first day of Nisan and he's still in the 20th year? Yeah, perfect. Because it's not the first day of the month of Nisan, which is going to be the rollover month, but rather it's going to be the first day of the month of Tishrei for non-Jewish kings. On the Amud Beis, we did mostly Tanakh today, right? A little bit of Gemara, but mostly Tanakh. We went through a lot of psukim in Sefer Nehemiah, just going over that sequencing and clearly articulating. Meanwhile, we also quoted a couple of psukim from Chagai Ezra today, that would seem to indicate that by Koresh, what we actually did is that we rolled over his reign on the month of Nisan, not the month of Tishrei. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Koresh, well, he was wonderful, meaning he allowed the Jews to go and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and so he was wonderful, he was a Melech Kasher, and so therefore we gave him a pat on the back, and then we dated him by Nisan, not by Tishrei. And then finally, the last thing we pointed out is that Artachshasta and Koresh and Daryavish are all the ones, the same person. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's confusing, because earlier in the daf we said that he was a Melech Kasher and we dated him by Nisan. Later in the daf we said that he was a Kasher king and we dated him by Nisan. Early in the daf, by Artachshasta, we said that we dated him by Tishrei. Well, which one is it? Is it Tishrei or is it Nisan? The answer is yes. Okay? I know. I understand.
So
yes.
What happened if
a Goyshek is Megaya? I don't know. It's a good question. I really don't know. I'm with you. Just leave it there. I'm with you. Okay. So it's difficult. The Gemara's conclusion is difficult. Anyway, the last thing, just to go over. So the Persian reign, right? Just a crash course in history. So the Persian reign is by far and away one of the most complicated parts of our Masorah, in that we have a very clear Masorah in terms of how the Persian reign goes. Now, from the Psukim and Navi, as we just went together, so it's hard to put it together, because we have Persian kings and they go by different names, and we just have the Masorah. We learned in today's daf that a lot of these Persian kings are one and the same person. Koresh, Daryavish, Artachshasta, they're all one and the same person. Okay, so that's our Masorah. Our Masorah has the Persian Empire, I'm going now big picture, has the Persian Empire as a really short kufa. It's a really short historical period in time. By the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, remember, Shimon HaTzadik was confronting who? So Alexander the Great. That's the beginning of Bayis Sheni, which is obviously not long after the building of the, right? Shimon HaTzadik met with Alexander the Great. Shimon HaTzadik was the first 40 years of the second Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So we have the Persian Empire being historically really small. That's why our Masorah has it that the second base of Mikdash lasted for 420 years. Okay, secular historians have a much longer band of the second base of Mikdash. That second base of Mikdash, according to secular historians, was built in the year 516 before the Common Era, destroying the year 70 of the Common Era. Okay, that is a lot longer than our Masorah of 420 years. Part of that is because secular historians have the Persian Empire lasting a lot longer than we're reporting. Okay, so this is just a larger point, which I'm not going to expand on. But anyway, that is a big difference, a big distinction between our version of history and the secular version of history. I'm not a historian, so I can't say this definitively, but probably it's the biggest discrepancy in terms of our version versus a secular version. Okay, I've gone.